Someone said it already, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, right? But there's a few of us that need to make up our mind that we want to live for the one who died for us. And it's not something that you, stumble into, but you need to really make up your mind that you're going to live for the God that died for you. And you say, how can God die? God is a spirit. He came as a man. He died upon a cross. He ascended into heaven. Then he came back as the Holy Spirit so that it might abide in you. That's how much he loved you. Someone's life's going to be changed today. Someone's life is going to be changed in a very dramatic way because, see, we are living in the last days, and God is wanting you not just to experience him, but be a part of his bride, part of his kingdom. And he doesn't come short in his promises. Before I start preaching, I got to share something with you. I didn't realize what was going on in my life, but God showed me something. Is there anyone in this body right now that hasn't gone through anything? I didn't think so. You've been through some things in your life that were hard. And if whether or not you acknowledge it, it had an effect on you. And see, the thing about it is if you don't get reconciled with your past, it's hard to have a future. See, in the Old Testament, the scripture tells us that the Hebrews were unable to obtain their promises because of their unbelief. I hope that you're here, and even if in your heart you don't feel like you believe God enough, that you pray for yourself and say, God, help me to believe. Help me to believe. Help me with my unbelief. Because, see, what you believe is going to determine how far you go with him. And some of you, he keeps repeating in my mind that we need to be healed, but you have to understand what you're being healed from. And many of us have not been healed completely from our past. And if you can't let go of your past, your future looks dim. You don't approach it with hope because you need that hope in order to endure what you get from God. He wants you to have his best. But if you're looking back over your shoulder, looking at the back, the Bible says that he that puts his hand to the plow, if he looks back, he's not worthy of my kingdom. So I want you today to make up your mind that you're going to go forward with God and that you're not going to look back and that nothing will distract you, that you'll keep walking forward. Why is that necessary? Because someone's following you. You have to understand your influence in God's kingdom is not just for you. God is using you to influence other people that they might follow him. And so we can't look back. We can't wish we were back there. We can't miss the parties. We can't miss the drinking. We can't miss the promiscuity. We can't miss that what was behind us. Because you can't press towards the mark of the high calling of God. You can't press towards something if you're looking backwards because you have to be focused. And the only way you're going to be focused is you allow God to take you where he wants you to go. And the beautiful thing about God, he doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you, but he wants to lead you out of your sin. He wants to lead, see, I don't care what kind of bondage you came out of. I don't care. Now, the Lord wanted me to share this with the congregation because you went through my process. And what I mean by that, you heard me coming here disgusted and upset and angry and just frustrated at the people I saw. And the Lord just this morning, he said, you know why you have such a hard time seeing people drunk, seeing people addicted to drugs, seeing people go through the sorrow? Because you never healed from what you went through in your home. That may not mean anything to you. What you see in what you have seen in your past, what you have seen in your home can also affect you going forward. If I've never seen people reconciled, if I've never seen people say, I forgive you, if I've never seen people say, I love you, I carry that with me. In every step that I make, I may love God, but if I can't let go of what's holding me and what I'm holding on to, I can't see him for his full glory. He wants you to see him in a totally different way. He wants you to be set free. And from whom the Son sets free, they are free indeed. What does that mean? See, if I'm having issues loving people, it's not because of they are not lovable. Not because that they don't deserve my love. It's because something back here I'm holding on to. I'm holding on to that last hurt. I'm holding on to that time when someone disrespected me. I'm holding on to that time when someone hurt me that I trusted. I'm holding on to something. And if you can't leave one, you can't grab the other. You've got to let go. So everything that I saw, the drunkenness, the behavior, the sin, the issues, and the problem, I've got to let it go. I've got to put it behind me because I can't approach under the things that God wants me to be. I can't be fit for the master's use if I'm looking over my shoulder. Are they going to hurt me again? Are they going to wound me again? And then the other part, the other side of that coin is this. If you don't ever become reconciled with your past, how can you hope for someone else's future? When I see someone drunk sitting on the side of the curb, I remember the testimony that the Lord had shared in our church some time back, not this church, but another church I was in. And the importance of it is this. There was a man who was literally laying in the gutter along the street, and he was saying, crying out on that corner, saying, I can't do this anymore. I can't live like this anymore. But there was someone in a prayer meeting in an upper room that leaned over that opening and said, but God can. And they did not know that that man was in that gutter, that that man was at his lowest place, that he needed hope. And that's what you need to understand about yourself. You're giving hope to a dying world when you let go of the world and you grasp hold on the things of God. You need to understand that. You're walking into God's hope, and his hope is not in vain. The Bible says that if you have hope in this world only, you are of all men most miserable, because this will pass away, but what God has for you, it will never. That's how important it is for you to be set free, for you to let go, for you to not to identify yourself with the past anymore. What you identify with. I identify with alcoholism. I would identify with poverty. I identify with just so many other things, but I had to let those things go so that I could even pray for someone and believe God can change their life. Do you hear me? It's hard for you to pray for somebody if you haven't seen it. You have to believe it, even if you haven't seen it. Because, see, the thing about it is that God was showing me you are still looking at your situations in your life as though you have something to do. Not that it's God that's doing it. Hear me what I'm saying. I'm saying to you, when you pray for somebody, it's not you. It's the God in you that is healing, that is delivering, that's setting captives free. It's not you. If you would just let go of who you think you are and let God be who he is, because he is almighty. When I last read about him, I just have a testimony that the last time I read something about him is in the Word of God, and it says he is the Almighty, not partially, not sometimes mighty, but the Almighty, and he changes not. So we can put our trust in him. So that's so important. So God's setting me free, and I know he's setting you free. I know he's setting you free. Sister Brooke had shared something with me some time back, and when she shared it, I said, man, that's interesting, because when you're set at a table, and the Lord spoke something to me as I was, I love it. I love the body. I'm sorry. I love the body, because when we start sharing what God is doing in each of our lives, it expands us. Because it's not just your life you're concerned about. When you begin to pray for me, I know that God is going to do something for me, because I have that much confidence in the God that we serve. So she said something about being sitting at the table, and I said, wait a minute. Think about it for a moment. The Lord showed me that you haven't been always sitting at a table where your enemies, with your enemies. You were brought there. You were brought there. You have to understand that. See, when God shares a scripture with you, he's hoping that you've read the book. So when you think about David, when David started out, he started out as a shepherd boy, amen? So if you start out as a shepherd, that means you were under the control and rule of someone else. Being there, so when his father, who he was submitted to, said, go and give your brother something to eat, he was walking in the will of God, because he's walking in obedience. So you didn't want to start a team, but God did. And he brought you out of that field and brought you into a place. And the only way that you can have a trial is if God's trying to prove you innocent. The only way that something comes against you, they have, hey, My God. See, it has to be say, thank you, Lord, for the trials. Because you're going to either prove me innocent, and if I'm guilty, you got forgiveness. You win, you win, you win. You always win with God. He's the judge. He's the advocate. He's the public defender. And he's the one that sets you free. It's God. See, you got to remember all your trials are for his glory. And he's trying to show you where you're at with him. So if I'm standing there and I'm guilty, Lord, I need your help to set me free. I know I'm guilty. It calls brings about confession. That's why you need the body, because you can't confess to yourself. What can you say to yourself? You can feel sorry for yourself, but what can you say about what God has done? And see, those spiritual conversations of those places where you are trying to be vindicated or helped by God, God has someone that has your answer in the body. My God. When I'm already in my message, I'll take you where I'm supposed to be. It's found in the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And the title of this message now is It's Already Done. It's already done. Your victory is in Christ. Is Christ still working? He might be working in you, but he's not establishing anything new. He's just bringing you into what he's already done. When I got baptized, he'd already been to the cross. So my sins were forgiven. I don't have to look for some help or some priest or someone to clarify the fact that my sins are forgiven. Because we're walking into something that's already done. It's already done, church. You see, in God's mind, you think about it this way. He thinks in the future, right? So it's already done in the future. All I'm doing is walking to catch up with it. Someone told me once, I've struggled. I'm like you. People can say things that are out of my realm of understanding or belief. And they'll say things that sound so good. But then there's so many times when I says, that can't be me they're talking about. That's not me that they're talking about. Me, what? A prophet? No. Me, a preacher? No. And as you diminish what God is trying to call you out of, you're walking backwards. When he's saying, come forward, come walk with me. It says, and then you have to realize it's not in your ability that you can be anything. It's in his ability. It's him. And as long as you see that it's him, that's when you can say and agree with the word of God, I can do all things. That's the only time you can agree with God, when you realize the position you're in, your position of reliance on him, your position of not knowing what it is that God has taken you into, but realizing that he can take you there, because he that has called you is faithful, and he will not, even when you give up on yourself, he will not. He won't give up on you. Even if your walk is misunderstood by people, he will not give up on you, because he's the one that's calling you out. He's the one that restores. He's the one that rebuilds. He's the one, if you let him, change your entire life, because he can do it. Matthew 6, and I'm regressing for a quick moment here, is in the fact that when I have to just share it with you the way the Lord showed it to me. When I read through the scripture in Matthew 6, I was reading through it, and because of the Lord said it wasn't just a word, it was a prophetic word. And what the prophetic word was that I'm stretching you. And when you've been stretched, I said, Lord, I was going to use the example about the wine bottles, but I don't know any of you guys that are wine. I don't know what you call it when someone's in the trade of wines. You might know a lot about them. You might have had a lot of tasting. But as far as the industry where you put put new wine into an old bottle and it bursts. I said, Lord, I need another example. So he said, a balloon. I said, a balloon? When you're little, you had little balloons and you wanted to blow into them. If you blew into them without stretching them first, if you didn't pull it a little further and blow into it, you couldn't do it. It was like it's so hard because it won't expand the way it's supposed to, right? Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. So when you pull on it, what are you doing? You're stretching it. And why are you stretching it? So that you increase its capacity. And God's trying to increase our capacity. And then he said, he says he's already been doing it. And I said, Lord, what do you mean you've already been doing it? What does it mean, Sister Deneen, when he says, when Sister Annette comes to you and says, I want you to start leading? He's stretching you. When more responsibility is being placed on you by the Holy Ghost or by a Holy Ghost-filled person, they're stretching you. And God's already been doing it. Oh, I want to keep it this way because this is the way I see it's going to work for me. Then he says, well, I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to take you out of your comfort where you're. And he said, how can his word be true if you say, I don't want to do it, when he's trying to tell you, I want you to be the head and not the tail. Don't come before me and say you want to be a head. And when I tell you to go forward, you say, no, I'm going to shrink back. Don't do the opposite. He's trying to tell you, I'm trying my best to answer your prayers. You say you want this, but yet you're drawing back. I want you to know this, church. He takes no pleasure in them that draw back. If you go back into the world, he takes no pleasure with you. And he's not playing. Because when you go back, there's going to be evidence that you shouldn't be there either. You have no place outside the church. Man, if, God forbid, that there was another man that had if I was out of the picture, another man had met my wife, he says, you've been married before. And whatever happened in that marriage is still on you. It still affects you. You see, when you've been engaged, it affects you. When you've been married, it affects you. When you've been in love, it affects you. Every relationship after that is different. When you fall in love with God, you're not going to find it anywhere else. You're going to search the world over. And you're not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to find it in a man. You're not going to find it in a woman. You're not going to find it in a child. You cannot match the love of God. You can't compare it. It's incomparable. You can't compare it to anything else. So if you're in your mind trying to make up your mind, should I serve this living God? And he is a living God. You're never going to find a greater love than what you find in him. He's so patient. When Pastor stood up and said there was someone here, perhaps several, that were resisting worshiping God. Resisting. Doesn't make sense. But if you've been hurt, it's easy for you to resist. It's easy for me to be stubborn and to hold my ground. But if I'm ignorant and don't know what God wants from me, that's a different thing. But if you've been offended and you've been hurt, that's a whole other thing. You see, you need to find out where you're at in that equation. You've either been offended, but what did God do to you? Think about it. What did God do to you? Oh, he brought me to this church. What did God do to you? Because if he brought you here and you were offended, you needed to be offended so that you would stop being offended. He's trying to put you in boot camp. He's trying to put you in a position where you can say, when you can stand before God and say, and nothing shall offend me because I love his word. There's no trial. There's no test. There's no individual. There's nothing that will hinder me from serving God with a pure heart. He's trying to show you what's in your own heart. When you get offended, it's in you. And that's why he says, pray for your enemies. Because if you've been offended and you're not praying for your enemies, you're still in a trial. I can guarantee you, you're still there. He's like walking around, like, why can't I feel God's presence? Why do I feel like I shouldn't be in this church? Why can't I find my way? Because when you find your way and you're offended, it says the root of bitterness will affect everybody else around you. So he can't let somebody sick lead. He can't give direction to someone who is sick because they will lead other people into their same problems and issues and bitterness. You will lead them in there, and then you look at yourself and says, well, what they did to me was wrong. And then that's why the Bible says when you are hurt, it says, look unto Jesus. Because on the cross, he was wounded. On the cross, he was spat upon. Before that even. His back was whipped so that we would not live in a place where we could ever say, oh, I no one's ever going to disrespect me. Who are you? What has elevated you so much where you think you can't be hurt? Because I know the one who heals the hurts. And see, maybe you don't know him, that he can really heal your hurt because you like holding on to it. You like the way it feels to hate somebody. You like the way it feels to manipulate. You like the way when I look over at her, she don't look back at me because she's afraid of me. You like that kind of stuff. That's strife. That's ugliness. It ought not to be in the house of God. You ought to learn to forgive. And if you can't forgive, you ought to be at the altar until you learn to. Don't get up. Don't leave it till you learn to forgive and let go of the things that hold you bound. If you can't be in this house and you can't worship your God freely, something I believe, what God does, when he gives someone, one person liberty, he gives it to all because he's not a respecter of person. He will not do for one that he will not do for another. Long time ago, he told our pastor, I'm going to give you a spirit of liberty. I haven't seen him bound since. Why do I say that? Because what he has, I have access to. If you, and you know what I feel in my spirit right now? Some of you hear the words I'm saying, and you're looking at me in this way, and this is what you're saying. I don't believe it takes all that. I don't believe it's all that running is necessary. I don't believe all that praying is necessary. I don't believe that I had to confess my faults and my sins to my brother or my sister. I don't believe it. And I want you to understand that even though you say you're a believer, you're walking like an unbeliever because you're not believing the things that God is putting out. You're walking, you're saying you're a believer. You're sitting in the church, and you say, I believe there's a God, but yet you're not giving him what he's due. You're not really worshiping from, well, I'm quiet, I'm shy. I don't care what you say you are, because the Bible says, let God be true. He's worthy of worship, but it says, let every man be a liar. And that means that you're lying, either to yourself and everybody around you, if you can't humble yourself and worship your God. We've had visitors that have come in this house, and they ran around this church. His mom might say, you know, but I got a bad leg. I've had a bad leg before, sister, and I ran on it, and guess what God did? He healed it because he honored what I gave to him. And some of us are in situations that don't change because you're not honoring God in what you can do. Sometimes it's not a big thing to do, but you're not willing to do the least of this in order to please him who saved you, who delivered you. You know what bothers me more than anything about the Holy Ghost? Is sometimes when you're talking about somebody, he shows you who you're talking about. I'm not trying to look away. Because see, when you get the Holy Ghost, God has a way of showing you what's in people's hearts so that they can be set free. See, he doesn't do it to embarrass anyone, but he's hoping that when you hear the truth, and not the truth that I know, not the truth that you know, but the truth of the Holy Ghost, when he's ministering by his Spirit, he's going to expose, he's going to shine a light on everything that's walking in darkness. Because, see, you can't be a part of him if you choose to walk in darkness. Because he says, I'm in the light, and in me there is no darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, if you hate your brother, you are walking in darkness. That's what the scripture says. If you can't find a place to forgive someone, you're walking in darkness, and you can't find your way with God. And it's not because God doesn't want you. It's because you don't want him. The Bible says that they love their darkness so much so that they would not acknowledge the truth. They love their darkness more than they love the truth. They love their darkness more than they love the light, because he's in the light. And when he exposes you in any way, shape, or form, that ought to gender in you a love. He said, thank you, Lord, because if I would have kept that darkness in me, I wouldn't be with you forever. He's trying to show you. For some people, you're even questioning, am I saved? Am I really saved? Am I really living for God the way he wants me to? My answer to you is that if you keep approaching unto the light, if you keep confessing your sins, if you keep approaching and praying and seeking him and asking him questions, ask him, and he'll answer you. And it may not be through someone's voice. It may not be through the preaching. It may be when you decide to finally read your Bible. Amazing. There's places where he puts his truth, and when you start doing it, it's like, whoa. There's something more here than just a few pages. So when I read in Matthew 6, I read it differently because of the revelation that the Lord had given our pastor about stretching us. And when we read the Word of God, if you look at it in this particular way, just for one time, when you're reading through it, I want you to think about it differently. I'm sorry, I said Matthew 6. It's actually Matthew 5, 39. And this is what it says. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. That's stretching you. Because that's not something you would naturally do. It would take me a while after I wiped the tears off my face to stand in the presence of someone who slapped me and go like this. Because when someone slaps you, they don't tap you. They really slap you till your eyes start rolling in your head. They're trying to hurt you. And I remember our stories of our pastor, former pastor, walking down Colfax, and there were people that were protesting him marching along Colfax, and they would pour beer off the balcony, and he would just stand there, and it would just go all over him. And he just kept walking and preaching and teaching the truth because he couldn't let what they did affect him. There's something about letting what they do affect you. There's something about it, because if you're not ready for that, don't go out on the streets. Even though God may call you to do certain things, you may not have a tolerance for abuse. You might not like it when someone cusses you out. You may not be able to take it yet. I'm saying yet, because at some point you will be. You ever heard about that minister who he was a street preacher, and he was standing out there preaching the gospel, and all of a sudden he started getting a little dizzy? And so his wife comes, and it's time to pack up everything. And she gets him in the car, and then she said, "What's that on you?" He said, "I thought it was ketchup," but he had been shot. Someone literally had shot him while he was out preaching, and he didn't even know it. That's our God. So he rushed him to the hospital, and I was like, wow, how could he? He was so concerned about packing up and getting ready because he was going to go preach at the church. He preached on the street. This is in Arizona. He was preaching on the street, and he wanted to get ready so he can go preach inside of a church body. And he got shot while he was on the street. So you think about this. When people in this church tell you to pray, when they tell you to cover yourself, if you don't believe it, I'll give you a little longer. Because someday you're going to come back, and you're going to say, you know what you guys said was true. We're not here to lie to you, and we're not here to put you in bondage. We're here to set you free. As God gives us the ability, we're here to set you free, not to walk like we used to walk. You see, I spend too much of my life looking back, too much of my life with regrets. When you look at the word regret, it means sorrowfulness of the mind. I was sorry in my mind, and when you're around people, you say, why are you never happy? Why don't you have the joy of the Lord? I thought the Bible said the joy of the Lord is your strength, but how can you have any joy if you are holding on to something back here? You gotta let go. You gotta let go. And when you have problems with it, God will put you in their presence over and over and over again. And then you realize how stupid it was holding on to what you held on to. Man, I mean really stupid. I'll speak for myself. I was a little kid when it happened. I had this. And what's so crazy about it, I cannot say I love my brother, but he was my brother. He was my older brother. He did something, and I didn't know how I was as a little kid hold on to offenses the way I did. I cannot believe that. It was so foolish. All I was doing this first, running outside, being a target for my brother. Running down, all happy, and he had a good throw. He released that dirt ball, and you can see it helmet hit. And it hit me in the back of the head, and the dust flew, and the little thing, it was such a hard ball that the things were specked in my throat at that time, more than I have here. It was stuck there. I walked in the house. I said, see? You could see evidence of being hurt. And my brother looked up at me. He put his head back down and went right back to sleep. I said, you. So, that's a small thing, right? 1 year goes by. 2 years go by. 3 years go by. 4 years go by. 6 years? 7?
8, 10, 12, 13, 14, 15. Come on, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20? Really? As a little boy, you didn't understand that he was tired from work and you wouldn't let it go? That he didn't rub your little poo? He didn't rub your little head? He didn't say, I'm so sorry that that happened to you? That he didn't speak any words? He didn't do anything to calm my pain? Holding on to that. And it wasn't until, you know, if you think you can stay in a position where you feel like you're not able to forgive somebody, wait till your pain comes. Wait till you need somebody else besides yourself. Because surely God will do what's ever necessary to get you out of that. You're going to need the person that you won't forgive. So my wife and I got married, and guess what loving brother did for me? Gave us his car. Did I forgive? 21 years, 22 years. Because see, when your heart gets hardened, it's hard for you to forgive. If you're not willing to forgive, you don't really know how deep that is. What if Jesus was like that? What if he said, I'm going to go a couple more centuries. I'm going to let a few of these folks die before I come. Because I'm just so sick of them. No, he said, I'm willing to come. He says, a body you have prepared for me, so therefore I'm going to come, and I'm going to die on the cross so they can stop living like that and live like this, like they have a future. Let go of it. Let go of the things that hurt you. And if you need help, we'll pray with you. Anybody need help yet? I got one. I got two, three, four. Oh, see? Thank you, Jesus. Because, see, there's going to be an altar call. He says we have a short amount of time, but we can't live in unforgiveness. Because, see, what if your unforgiveness causes you not to be able to hear God's voice? What if your unforgiveness keeps you stuck when God has so much for you? What if you don't even know you're not forgiving somebody? I can forgive you, but I don't forget. You show me that in the scripture. That's what I thought. It says don't add to his word and don't take away from it. And there you go saying, I can forgive, but I don't forget. That's not the spirit that you want to have in the church. And do you know that you may not be aware of this, but other people can feel that on you? Because they got the Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is to keep order in the church. And the reason it is able to do that, it can tell you when someone is not forgiving. It can show you either through a dream or a vision or just verbally speaking to your heart saying, this person has unforgiveness. You say, Brother Murray, why are you on this? Because I don't want anybody in here lost. He's not willing that any should perish. How can I stand here and not tell you that you're in unforgiveness? How can I stand here and say it's okay, you'll get over it? How can I tell you, oh, next week you can do it? No, today's the day. Today's the day that you forgive. And, you know, it's amazing when you start forgiving, your heart opens up to God more. And you begin to hear him clearer. Thank you, Jesus. So, after the hit in the head, after I'm in front of his house, after he gives me a car, after he comes to my wedding, after every year faithfully he gives us, my wife and I, money for our anniversary, for our birthday, he always acknowledges us. And I could not forgive him. Until that one day I was staying outside his house. I said, Lord, I don't know what you did, but you set me free. You know, he's the same one I prayed for. I told you guys about this. I was in church. The pastor said, think of someone that you don't think that God can save. Bing! The one I can't forgive. God went past me to get to him. He gave someone he went to school with a dream who was a pastor. And he called my brother up and said, I just had a dream about you. And in this dream, you were being baptized. He had been a Baptist, a Catholic, when he got married, and he had just been in limbo since then. I'm sorry. So he's there, and he says, you know what? He calls me up and says, Eric, I'm going to go get baptized. I said, really? One of the most beautiful baptismal services I've ever been in. All of it. And that's how my brother got not born again, but he got baptized in Jesus' name. Still, those other things come to happen. See, you want the best for those people in your family. But you've got to learn to forgive. And they need to see it. They need to hear it. They need to see what it looks like to humble yourselves Let's all stand. If you come into the body and someone... Okay, that's better. Thank you, brother. If someone comes into the body and they hear a message like this, I hope the evidence is you repenting. I hope the evidence is you acknowledging the truth, because believe it or not, you're helping them. You're helping them. My God. Can we bow our heads for just a moment? And those of you who've said already that I need help forgiving, I need to... Just come on up. Just come on up, because we don't have a lot of time to be in here. Please just come. And just stand there for just a moment. This is not to condemn you. This is not to find fault. It's just acknowledging the truth. God, there are people in my life I need to forgive. I'm going to skip ahead in this, because you have to realize, and I hope you believe me, the Bible says that When we forgive, it's not necessarily for them, but it's for us. Because in the moment that you say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, God begins to minister to you why they're stuck, why they did what they did. Whether it was intentional, whether it was unintentional, whether it was just a misunderstanding, whether the source of it. And sometimes we look to God and say, Lord, I need more of an explanation. They hurt me. And God says, yeah, you can tell me that they hurt you, but they hurt me too. And he knows how to comfort them who are wounded. He knows how to comfort them that are hurt. He knows how to comfort them that have a hard time forgiving. Because he's God. And you might, some of you are going to walk away from here, and you'll go home and you'll be laying in your bed and you'll wake up early. And you say, Lord, why is this on my mind now? I thought I let it go. He may just want to minister to you so you can forgive from the heart. He said, except you forgive from the heart, I can't forgive you. Except you put yourself on that cross and speak those same words, Lord, what they did hurt me, but I'm willing, if you help me, to forgive them and to let it go. Every one of them. Some of you have multiple people that you need to forgive. Some of you feel like you've been betrayed by your family, and the Lord's telling me to tell you that some of those situations weren't their fault. It was your fault as well. You chose to be a doormat, or you chose to be their God, or you chose to be something to them that God never intended you to be, and you put yourself in jeopardy. You put yourself in a place where you got hurt, even when the Lord was trying to tell you not to do it. Some of us stayed in situations too long. When God said go, and you stayed there, and you got hurt worse. And he said go, but your heart kept you there. And he said go, and you kept staying there. And you allowed the pain to cause you to become bitter. If you're bitter in your spirit, if just the mention of their name makes you angry. But God, they were wrong for what they did. Are you a greater judge than God? What the Bible says about our God is that he is a righteous judge, and he will do right. If you can't believe that God will do right, what else can't you believe him for? He is a righteous judge. He may not do it the way you want it done, but he is a righteous judge. He says, when I judge, I don't judge alone. When Jesus was on the earth, he said, when I judge, my judgment is righteous, because I don't judge alone. The Spirit in me, my Father, and I, the Spirit within him, and he will speak, and he would bring judgment. We suffer.
we weep in God's presence because we've been hurt and we've gone through some difficulties. But don't you know that the Bible says that weeping makes the countenance of your heart better? When your heart is hardened, when you begin to weep and to cry and say, God, this is hurt, this heart, this is hard. And some of us find it so easy to discount what we've been through. Lord, help us. Whatever would block us or stop us. You know, sometimes some of you are waiting on something. You could be waiting on a wife. You could be waiting on a husband. But why would God bring someone to your bitterness? Why would God bring someone to your anger? Why would God bring something? Why would God add to something that will only take from? See, there's something about a heart that knows how to forgive. And see, the thing about it, many of us don't know how to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and say, Lord, I'm hurt and I can't keep walking like this. And I'm willing to let it go if you will help me. But I don't want to come back here tomorrow and see the same thing. I want your work to be done in my heart. I want to forgive from the heart. From the heart. From the heart. Because I want to be forgiven of my trespasses, of my sins, of what I've done wrong. Yes, they talked behind my back. Yes, they accused me of things. Yes, no one stood up for me. Yes. Ooh, I don't know who this is for, but you said that, but they killed my brother. You said they hurt somebody that I love, and I want them to suffer because of it. There's a scripture I just read to you. He said, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. Because if you don't resist, if you resist not evil, that means that you don't retaliate when something comes against you or someone that harms you, because God's wrath is being stored up against them. I hope you understand that. There are people that you have seen wounded and hurt and harmed, and there's some situations where you said, well, I'm going to get the payback myself. But you can't judge what only God has given. He's not giving you the responsibility to make right every wrong. But he wants you to be free so that your life can be better. He wants you to be better than what you've seen other people do. Men follow after men. If all I've seen is people retaliating and fighting and going back to try to fix it themselves or to get their payback, that's nothing doing nothing more than setting you up for loss. It's an endless cycle. It's an endless cycle that you can't come out of. Death does not bring forth life. But forgiveness does. Let go. Let go. Let go. But I still see them. Let go. But I'm still in their house. Let go. They've stolen from me. Let go. They've done things deceitfully. Let it go. Let it go. This is where you really have to trust God and let it go. Let it go. Jesus, come in our midst. Come in our midst, Lord. Come in our midst, Father. And show us what we had to do with what happened to us. What was our wrong? What are you trying to forgive in our lives? Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I want you to be free. I want you to let go. Doesn't mean that you're vulnerable. Doesn't mean that you're weak. It just means that you know that God's word is true. Let him build up the account. Let him pour out the wrath. Let him bring forth the judgment. Not you, because that's not your job. That's not your position. There are times when God will give you the ability, but it's only as he gives it to you, not when you choose it for yourself. We pray tonight, we pray as a church, that God would push back or stop
the witchcraft that was going on in that city. That's God's judgment. It's something went forth, and God is going to do something. He's going to change those people's lives, or he's going to remove them. That's God's judgment. Let him be the judge. Let God be true and every man a liar. Lord, help us to be willing to forgive. Because he said, your future is already done. You're already there as you keep walking towards him. Walk towards his light. Walk in his truth. There's people here today that God, they've never experienced, but they're experiencing right now in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Can we clap our hands unto the Lord? Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it is a choice to believe God. And last I heard, we are believers. Can we pray out? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the transparency, the honesty of those who have come forward and said, I need help forgiving. I pray that, Lord, in their soul and their being, that they would feel that they've made the right choice. They may not feel as though they've forgiven, but when, Lord, when that person's name's mentioned, when that circumstance is brought back to their remembrance, when those situations revisit themselves, when they're in our presence, let them feel forgiveness and know that they've been set free so that they can live for you freely in Jesus' name. Let's clap our hands to the Lord one more time. As you're leaving.